Hey guys, I'm so glad you're here. You're listening to the Efficiency Bee podcast, where we focus our time, money, and energy on all the right things to enjoy our bold, balanced, and blessed lives. I'm your host, Melissa Leone. I'm on a mission to redefine feminism and, dare I say, end it. You've heard of a busy bee, a honey bee, a queen bee? This is Efficiency Bee. Hey everyone, how's it going today? This is Melissa Leone and I am your host of the Efficiency Bee podcast. Today I have Dr. Garrett Goggins on with me. He is an entrepreneur, a speaker, and a mindset coach. He refers to his coaching as mindset engineering, which I'm really excited to talk about. And his passion comes from numerous life experiences that have brought him to the realization that our thoughts are the single most important contributing factor to achieving success, which I love. And I'm really excited to introduce you to Dr. Garrett Goggins. Hi, Garrett.
Hello.
Can you call me Dr. G instead?
You can call me Dr. G. You can just call me Garrett. You can call me
whatever. Dr. G. It has a nice ring to it. Is that what you go by a lot? People call you that often?
No, not really. How's that? Typically, it's only on my podcast when people do that or when they're joking around. Yeah, it was really just a friend that came up with that and it just stuck.
It has a nice ring to it. I like it. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Always want to know how far do I want to go back on this, but so obviously I, like you said, I'm a mindset coach, but I do refer to what I do as mindset engineering. And I think a lot of that, we don't necessarily have to unfold that right this very second, but a lot of that comes from this, my doctorate is actually in computer science. And so I look at things a little bit differently when it comes to mindsets. And also, like you said in the introduction, that I got to this place from a lot of these life events. And you know, I think everybody goes through these highs and lows in life. So and some of us even feel like that we get these extreme highs and then these extreme lows. I was getting those variant things in life. And I went to this training event for work, and the speaker had said something that stuck with me. And then it was something at first I really didn't understand. And she said that any success that we find in life and any success that we don't find in life has absolutely nothing to do with our external circumstances or other people, but has everything to do with us. And at first I was like, man, that's harsh. Cause you know, sometimes we can't help what our circumstances are. But when I hit this rock bottom low in life, it came back to me and I said, well, if that's true, then what is it that I have to do for me to stop ending up into this place that I keep ending up in? And I just dove headfirst into personal development. And I say this a lot, and people, my kids probably get tired of me saying it, but when you do personal development correctly, it begins to look more like personal discovery, because you discover who you believe your current self to be and who it is that you want to be. And then you can start to transition from that current self to this higher self. And through all my research, I found that the mindset, your thoughts, how you think about things and the thought process, all that stuff goes into getting you out of these current results. And those rock bottom lows tend to be a little bit different because you just change your perspective. And once I began to apply these principles of mindset, it was a game changer for me. Everything changed. And so I quickly found my passion being to relay this information to others. So whenever someone would, I found them in the same place that I was in, and we would have conversations and I would start talking to them about what I had learned about mindset and how to utilize it, then they started changing as well. And so it just became a huge passion of mine. And so then someone said, well, you should just do it for a living. And I said, sounds like a plan. And that's where we went.
That's awesome. I totally agree. And it's funny, you know, a lot of the people in the podcasting space tend to have stories of, you know, finding a bottom and figuring out how to move themselves up and wanting to share that with other people. And that resonates with me at a lot of different levels. What are some of the main things that you've shifted as far as mindset goes that you think has helped you?
Well, I think the foundational pieces is one, again, so our thoughts. The thing that the main piece that really helped me is just understanding the thought process and why we always find ourselves stuck into the cycle of negative results, or we feel like we're trying, but we're not moving anywhere. And that's because of the thought process. So, and I always liken this to these New Year's resolutions, mm-hmm. right? So everybody goes and says, we're going to start working out for New Year's. We're going to have a healthy year this year. And at first it's working very well. And that's because in our conscious mind, we're consciously thinking about this end result that we're going to have. We're going to look fit. We're going to be healthy. And what happens is those conscious thoughts impress into our subconscious mind. And that subconscious mind generates the feelings and emotions that coincide with that conscious thought. And so when we're thinking about our end result of where we want to go, it begins to excite us. We get motivated. And then those emotions or feelings are what generate the actions. So those, now we have forward progression mm-hmm. actions. But then we, great for about a week, maybe two, and then we hit the scale and then we look and we start to focus on our current results. And it's not where we want to be. So we lose sight of the goal that we have in our mind, and we look at where we're currently at. And that conscious thought then is impressing into our subconscious mind. And what feelings do we have from that? Typically depression, or we just lose interest because, oh, this isn't mm-hmm. working out for me. And so we have that emotion. So what are the actions that coincide with that emotion? Well, there are none. We just stop. We stop what we're doing. And then now what our current result is continuously the same. So we keep in that cycle of motion. So the thing that helped me the most was understanding, having that awareness of what the thought process is. So when I stop looking at my end goal, and I have to caution people, like, I'm not saying like stop living in the moment. I'm just saying my goal is my purpose now. And so when the current results come up, you have this power to choose what you're consciously going to think about. So when I say, well, this is my current result, I start feeling that negative emotion come. I shift. I say, nope, I'm not going to think about that anymore. What's my goal? Where's my excitement coming from? And it starts to generate that intrinsic motivation to keep you moving. And that was the biggest game changer yeah. for me.
It's that habit loop, right? I'm in that fitness cycle right now. Like, I am always into health and wellness, but I've gained 20 pounds in the last year, and I know it's cortisol and stress related. I know it is. My eating habits haven't changed. My fitness levels haven't changed. And I know that it's just stress hormone. And it's just the result of, you know, what 2020 handed us. And now it's almost halfway through 2021 and we're still dealing with it, and the kids online and all the things. But I get really frustrated when I look at that scale and it's going up, but I'm working my butt off in the gym and I'm eating right and it's not going anywhere. And it's really easy to be like, you know what, screw it, and go through the drive-thru or have Dairy Queen. And you're absolutely right. It's that mindset of you have to keep taking care of yourself, even if the immediate goal isn't shining through. What is, and it's hard. It's really hard to find ways to do that. So what have been your tricks in order to help really shift your mindset in that direction?
So I started, and this is where that engineering piece really comes into play. So I looked at where I wanted to be in life. And I feel like if you set goals, you should set goals that are going to stretch your belief system. It's going to cause growth. To me, a goal is pointless if you're not going to grow from it. And so I looked at this end result of what I wanted out of life. And I mean, in totality, not just from a professional point of view, but I was looking at this holistic piece, you know, mind, body, soul, mm-hmm. spirit, all of that. What did I want out of life? And then I just reverse engineered that, because to get to that point, you as a person have to change. And so who is it that I had to be to be in line with this end result that I wanted? So I reverse engineered that person. And then I said, okay, great. Well, now that I know what I want to be and what it takes to be there, then what is in line with that as my habits that we were talking about earlier? What are my habits that are in line with that? What are my habits that are not? And I started to shift the ones that weren't into something that would be more, again, in line with that end goal. And then I started, and I think this is what's really important, and especially to what you were just saying, is I stopped defining my success as saying this end result is mm-hmm. my success, right? And this is when we really start to live in the present. Like we're continuously working towards the end, but we're living in the present. And I define, well, what activities today do I get done that's going to move me closer to that mm-hmm. end result? And then every time those were my wins, those were my successes. I had daily successes instead of just trying to have this end result be my only success. Yep. And that really helped me to, again, you know, going through the thought process is, so if I did this, if I got up and I went to the gym today and I ate the way I was supposed to eat, boom, success for today. And it, still the result of the scale didn't bother me because I was doing everything the stepwise that I was supposed to do. And that really helped shift the way I thought about things and to really stop focusing on where I currently was and constantly thinking about where I was going because I was taking these steps in that yeah. direction.
But have you read The Power of Habit?
Okay. I haven't, but it's in my list.
It's one of those that like I want to read a couple times because there's so much information that you can't retain. But one of the things I got out of it was the habit loop. You'll only maintain a habit if there's a reward, right? So that you can repeat right. the cycle. Right. And for me, like I'll get on the scale in the morning and it's gone up or it hasn't changed. That reward seems to be gone. And then I don't want to continue the habit. It's easy to be like, screw it. This isn't working. So I'll do nothing instead. But I found this app. There's like a billion of them out there, I'm sure. But I found this one called Productivity that I really like because I can put all the things I want to do in a day for myself, for healthy habits. And the reward becomes checking the box. And it's really interesting to me that it actually feels like a reward. I will do it just so I can check it off and not have to put skipped. And it keeps that habit cycle moving, right? So, or the reward cycle rather. So I don't get on the scale anymore. I just make sure I check all those boxes every day. And that reward cycle keeps me going. I had work meetings this morning at 6 a.m., that's usually when I go to the gym. So instead, I got up at 4:30 and went to the gym at 5 so that I can check that box because otherwise I would have missed it. And finding little things like that is so helpful for me anyway in changing that loop because it's so easy to be like, meh, I'm not losing weight. I'm not going to the gym. It's not working, right? Forget
right,
it.
Right, right.
Forget it. What other types of things do you like to see or hear in mind engineering? What other tips do you have in that area?
So another big piece is self-talk. Mm-hmm. It's and I was actually just talking to a client about this the other day, and we don't listen to ourselves sometimes. And if you stopped and you just took a minute and focused on what we tell ourselves, you would be shocked. You know, we don't talk about our worst enemy the way we talk about ourselves sometimes. And we're very negative and we live in this I can't realm. And although a lot of people make fun of these I am affirmations or I am statements, if done properly, they are very powerful because the beautiful thing about, again, with this thought process is when you're in that subconscious mind state, the subconscious doesn't know the difference between fact or fiction, right? It's just going to generate the feelings, emotions, and the subconscious is also where all of our habits are, are, are lying in. So it doesn't know the difference between fact or fiction. So when we start doing these conscious thoughts, the subconscious just says, oh, okay, I'm just going to generate what I'm supposed to generate to go with that. And so the I am statements are very powerful. And we stop saying, you know, there was this point where I had tons of anxiety, social anxiety. I had anxiety when I was talking on the phone. I had all sorts of anxiety. And I realized in my research that I needed to stop telling myself that I had this. And so I stopped saying, I get anxious when I'm in a group of people, or I get anxious when I am on the phone, or I get anxious when I'm on stage talking to people. And I started telling myself, I really enjoy doing this. I really feel inspired and motivated to get up and do these things that used to make me feel or hold me back. And the more I did that, the more my body just started following suit. Right. And so there was a point in time where I could never get on stage and hold a microphone to my mouth. But that's something I do now. Actually, I gave a talk last night, and it's so comfortable. And I had personal space issues, and now I'm a major hugger. Like I hug everybody in sight. But it was because I stopped telling myself these negative pieces about who I'm supposed to be, and began to understand that you are who you say you are. So start telling yourself, you know, who it is you really want to be, and you'll become that person.
I'm having an issue right now. Not an issue. That's not the right way to say it. But my 10-year-old. Daughter has some pretty good anxiety issues, some pretty bad anxiety issues. They're pretty, they're manifesting in multiple areas of her life. Like, she gets really nervous around food. She gets really nervous in groups or around strangers. She gets really nervous at test taking time at school. You know, when the stress isn't on, she's fine and normal and she'll eat whatever. But as soon as there's pressure of any kind, she doesn't fight or flight, she freezes. And we're trying to figure out with the school and with our doctor and all these different things about how can we help move her through it. And one of the things in the back of my mind continues to be, if I keep telling her that she has problems, she's going to continue to have problems. It's like, it's going to get into her subconscious that my mom and my dad and, oh, I have anxiety, right? Rather than helping her tell herself that she doesn't have it. And I absolutely believe in the medical professional world of helping and of therapy. And I think all of those things are really good, and they've definitely helped me in the past. But as I look at my 10-year-old, I keep thinking, maybe I just need to have her do some affirmations every day, and that will help her. I don't know. It's a hard thing for oneself, let alone trying to help figure out how to do it for a child. Right. And, I don't know. What are your thoughts around that?
Yeah. So I always tell the story about my son, and I joke because he was just, you always have to tell that story. And like I do, because your story is going to help people. And he had went through a stage, when he transitioned into middle school, we had moved. And so he went to he was in a brand new school, brand new home. He had no friends at that school. And, you know, and it's now middle school. So everything has changed from elementary, and it affected him in a way that was really bad. And he was put on some medication, and I was like, you know, Braden, the health industry is great, and utilize this to get yourself to where your mind, you can control your thoughts. And he did that to a point where he literally thought his way out of that, and he stopped taking his medications and he was fine. He's like, man, this is crazy. This stuff it's awesome the way we can do this. And then he came to me a few years later in high school, and he's like, okay, I want to do something different now. I want, you know, I'm very withdrawn. He considered himself an introvert, and he wanted to become more outgoing. He wanted to become more of a leader in class, and this list of things that he said that he wanted to do. And so I gave him the exercise. I will write that down. What does that look like? And start envisioning what that would look like for you when you walked into school and you were being more outgoing, or you were, now that they're online class, you know, you were raising your hand and you're interjecting more in class and you're becoming more of this leader person. Envision that. And then write your I am statement. Start telling yourself that's the person who mm-hmm. you are. And he's like, okay. So he started doing it. We did it for about a month. And the beautiful thing about a child's mind is that they're not as jaded as we are as adults, right? They're not, there's this, they can convince themselves of something so much easier than we can. And within that month, we had a parent teacher conference online, and I want to say it was two or three of his teachers just stopped at the whole thing. And with Braden, he's always such a great student. More often than not, they say, you know, we just wish we could clone your kid. And that's what we're typically used to. But this time they're like, we have to talk to you about your son. And at first we were like this sense of shock, and we're like, what happened? And they were saying, we just seen some changes in him. He's being, you know, he's interjecting more in class. He's more outgoing. He's taking more leadership roles, and everything that was on his list, they basically just checked off. And it just affirmed everything that I believe in, this idea that, again, you are who you say you are. And you're right, with the, when we stop telling ourselves that we have these issues, that we're anxious, and we're, and we really have to find what the trigger is, though. And so what's the trigger? And then that's how we can conquer that. But I believe it can be done, because I watched it happen within my son. You know, I'm by no means, like I said, a medical doctor, but utilizing the medical place and then having that work within your thought processes, it's a powerful thing.
Yeah, I agree. It's really hard, I think, to look at it from a lot of different angles all the time. And the one angle that I continuously go back to is our power of our thought. And there might be different things that need to be at play for my daughter. Maybe it's medical, maybe it's medicine, maybe it's like they're recommending a 504 plan to give her extra time for tests. Maybe that will help, but maybe she can also help herself with that daily work. So I think I'm going to try that today. I'll let you know how it goes. I'm going to talk to her tonight and have her do some work around the I am statements, and we'll journal it for a month or so and see how she does. Maybe I'll let you know.
Please do. I would be very interested to hear how that goes.
And she's right at the right age for that. You know, she's 10, so she's capable of self-talk in both directions, positive and negative. She's really in the right age group for that. I think if I had tried to do it when she was much younger, it wouldn't have been as easy, because they just rely on us to tell them what they're thinking. But now she can kind of formulate some of those. So as you know, a lot of the work that I'm trying to do in my space is around feminism. I'm a working mom. I've got three small kids. They're 6, 8, and 10. And I have a corporate job in addition to, I'm a business owner and a podcaster, obviously, and I'm working on a book. And one of the things that I really am trying to do is change the way the word feminist is interpreted. So often feminism is synonymous with man-hater, or with bitch. And that's kind of where efficiency bee came from. It's the bee is maybe a honeybee, but probably the B word, you know? And I'm finding more and more women as I go through this work who have a mindset that they have to do all the things. They have to be the maid and the cook and the organizer, and they have to work, versus being able to step back and say, oh, I get to stay home with my family and I get to take care of the home, or I get to go to work and my husband gets to take on some of the work, and allowing working women to have this I am statement, to use your terms, that I am capable of giving away control to my husband so that we can both have this balance, or I am capable of being okay with being a stay-at-home mom and not being a co-breadwinner. There's so much pressure around both angles of that. And I wondered if you have any thoughts from the male perspective on all of those things.
I do. I feel like that is, I love how you say I get to, because again, that's that self-talk, mm-hmm. right? With this idea that I have to, it becomes work. It becomes strenuous. It becomes, I have to do this. But I think that when you can say, the husband has to be there, it has to be on board too. And I think males have to shift their way of thinking as well, because we can call it feminine energy and masculine energy or whatever that looks like. But, you know, we were raised in that men are the strong, this, that, but things mm-hmm. have changed. You know, it is more of an equal piece to this. And I think that you're more often than not, you're going to find men actually stepping into this role of, yes, I get to take care of the kids. And they're really starting to enjoy this, because the way society are looking at us is shifting. And a lot of men are coming out and saying, you know, it's rough just playing this role when it's not just me, right? Again, it's this idea that we can share this load, and we get to share this load, and it becomes more meaningful in the relationships of the husband, the wife, and the father, and the mother aspect. That the roles just change and becomes very meaningful, and so it is the sharing piece, and so I think that transition is great for women, and that they get to do both. But men, this is what I guess where it's the man point of view, is they have to shift their thinking as well. And I don't know that that's easier said than done, but I do know that some of the males that I talk to, whether they're clients or whether they're on my podcast or whether they're just in, you know, networking events or whatever, that they're shifting. They're like, yes, I thoroughly enjoy being able to stay with my kids and let my wife go do whatever she needs to do. And I think those roles are shifting, but it has to be on a common ground. And I think that's why it's so hard for women to make that shift, is because their spouse, they're not on board. They're not sharing that. And so now how you change that, I don't know. I'm not a marriage counselor, but I think that's key, is when you as a couple are both in agreement on what that looks like, then that becomes easier for both of you. And again, it's a deeper emotional connection that you can have as a family unit.
I agree. And I have a hard time as I unravel some of these thoughts, because so many times people will say, well, your husband, like, okay, so my husband cooks. My husband does everything end to end with the food in this household. Food is not my thing. Never has been. So he does the grocery shopping, to the cooking, to the dishes. And I do other parts, right? I take the trash out every Monday and Thursday or whatever. So we have all these things that we have figured out that work for the two of us. But I can tell you for sure that there has been an enormous amount of pressure on me over the years to cook, or for my kids to think that I'm cooking, because that's what I thought I was supposed to do. And it's not that my mom or my dad put that pressure on me. It's just society as a whole has put that pressure. The culture of it has been there for so long. So, you know, people will say like, oh, well, your husband needs to get with the times, but it's not that simple, right? Like, we have all experienced life through whatever media or marketing or country that we lived in. You know, if you live in certain parts of the world, Mexico is a great example. Women are almost in every Hispanic room that I'm in. I live in Arizona, so I'm my husband's Mexican, and there's a lot of Hispanic families that live near us. The women will often go make the plate for their husband and bring it to them, which is awesome, but that's not something that my husband and I do. And so sometimes we'll get a response from people that's like, oh, how come your wife didn't make your plate? Or how come you didn't make your husband's plate? And it's because that's not how we work. But I'm not judging you for that's the way you work, as long as it works for both of you. I'm just kind of starting to unravel some of those cultural ideas that we pick this up as normal from the outside, but it doesn't mean that it has to be our normal. And we can change that for our children as well. We have the ability to influence what their version of normal looks like, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And really teach them to define this idea that you're not basing roles off of, you know, whatever sex you are. You're basing the roles off of whatever you're good at, whatever inspires you. So if your husband enjoys cooking, why not let that be his role in the family? And if you enjoy, maybe you're more into automotive stuff, and let that be your role.
Totally.
The roles are no longer, they don't have to be gender specific, and roles should just be what works again as this family unit. And you're right. I mean, society is going to judge us 100% of the time, but as long as we don't focus on that aspect and we say, well, nope, this is working for us and we're happy with this, then I feel like the more families that do that and they teach their kids that realm, then that starts to become the norm. That's really shifting. And that's what I was saying with how men are thinking now, is because we're shifting this idea of even our role that has been, you know, passed down from our parents and grandparents and society of who we have to be. And it's changing the way things are being looked at. And the more we teach our kids that, the more that changes. And then it just becomes, we're actually seeing this in real time, the shift of what the normal, quote unquote, actually looks like.
And it's happening. It seems to be happening from all angles all at once, which I don't know if it makes it transition fatigue or if it's better this way, but I love all the different ways that this seems to be impacting us all to change as a society. My brother-in-law does a lot of work in the LGBTQ community, and he just wrote a book called Raising LGBTQ Allies. And his whole premise, if I was to wrap it all up into one sentence, is if my children are raised in a home with a man and a woman, they assume that that's the way normal is. But if one of them is gay, they won't think that being attracted to the same sex is, quote, normal, because that's not what they saw around them. So our responsibility is to say to them, mommy and daddy have this household, but if you lived in a household with a mommy and a mommy or a daddy and a daddy, that's normal too, right? And to give the children perspective that things that they don't necessarily see on a daily basis are still okay. And that can go across LGBTQ, that can go across race, that can go across religion. And I find these things unfolding before me, like the more I dig into them, and I'm so excited to see what it all will look like in 50 years or 20 years, right? And how quickly it can happen, but also kind of how long it takes at the same time. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, and I think you're going to always have those people out there, right? So, I mean, in religious communities and other communities, and we're always going to have the challenges. So we're always going to have the hate and whatever. I just don't feel like that's ever going to go away. But I do believe, like you were saying, the more people who get on board with raising children in a different, just with a different perspective on all these matters. And I think, you know, with the things with COVID and with Black Lives Matter and all these things that have been going on the past few years, it literally has started to shift this way of thinking. And I think that's why you're seeing it go so in like this quantum leaps, is because we were forced to. And I believe it's a good thing to change these perspectives and to make these things quickly. It is going to take a while to really for it to become the norm. Yeah. But I love the change. I love the change that the world is going through. And we can look at it as negative. We can look at it as this idea that, you know, we're moving in the right direction. And although it's kind of, you know, wonky right now, we're starting to figure all this stuff out, I believe. And I think it's going to be a good thing.
I agree. I completely agree. And I think what's important is that we all continue to keep having conversations and listening to each other, because maybe somebody listening to this podcast today is like, you guys are way out of line. That's not me at all. You know, my way is the way that I know to be true. And maybe they'll listen to somebody else's podcast tomorrow and it will start to resonate. So, I think a little bit at a time is the way that change really takes place. And as long as there's work to be done, we'll all just keep working it. Garrett, I am really curious about morning routines. So it's one of the questions that I ask all my guests. Do you have a morning routine? And if you do, what is the most important part of it?
I do have a morning routine. And the most important part for me is I write out a gratitude list every single morning, 10 things or people that I am grateful for. And I do that because it sets the tone for my attitude for the day, right? We can always start the day of thinking, oh, this is going to be a bad day. You know, like if you wake up and you stub your toe or whatever, but when I wake up and the first thing I do is find out what I'm grateful for and then elevate my, you know, my emotional energy to being just, yeah, man, this is going to be a good day because look at all the things that are already awesome in my life. When I started doing that, it was another game changer for me, right? It really helped me to stop looking at the negative pieces in life and really be appreciative of, it doesn't matter what negative aspect is there. I have so much already. And to me, it is the most important piece. And if I don't do one thing out of my routine, I make sure that is not the one thing. It always happens every single day.
I love that. I absolutely agree. I have the same practice. And it's funny, sometimes it's the same thing for a couple of days in a row. You know, I'm really grateful for my coffee. Or even if I'm having a bad day, I'll find something that I'm really grateful for. So I'm with you. So we're out of time, but I would love if you could share your podcast information and where everybody else can find you otherwise.
Sure. So my podcast is, it's called Moving Upstream Without a Paddle. And you can find that it's on all the platforms that's out there. And you were actually on there and that was a really good conversation. So I love that. And I think that's actually how
it
we
is,
met
yeah.
was getting you on there. And so, yeah, you can see there and it's all about mindset stuff. And it's just everybody's point of views on how they utilize their mindset and just a lot of great tools, tactics and principles that people can apply to making that shift within their own lives. And so that's there. And the best way to really find me, I have a website. It's just garrettgoggins.com, but really most of where I am at is on my Facebook page, which is the Dr. Garrett Goggins page. And that's where all the live feeds for the podcast are and everything pretty much goes on there. So that's really the best place. And I respond quickly if people are there.
Very
so
cool.
That's the best way.
Yeah. I was on yours and I enjoyed it very much. And I think we need to continue to have this dialogue together because, you know, we'll continue to learn from each other through it too.
I agree. Yeah, I do agree. You had a great conversation and I love this, your mission in life. And I fully support that idea. And just like I said, I feel like with your mission and combine this idea that, you know, the point of view of the male role too has to change, then we can create some waves that are going to be pretty outstanding.
I hope it does. I'm looking forward to the future for my children. That's for sure. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so, so much. It was great to talk to you again and we'll talk very soon.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Well, guys, that wraps it up. Thank you so much for listening. Keep spreading that EB love and remember to find me on Facebook at EfficiencyBee. Until we meet again, be bold, be balanced, and stay blessed. See ya.